Open up to Matthew chapter 13. You put a marker in Mark chapter 4. And if you really want to get ahead, Isaiah 55. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year, the last week before the first. And of course, we've already been into it now. Thursday's the first, right? And so it's right after Christmas, and it's the when all the hubbub kind of winds down. Then it's a real seeking time, and I hope you take advantage of this week between now and next Sunday to really begin seeking the Lord. And of course, I mean talking about prayer and fasting and being in His Word and really learning to just, I tell you, in this day and age, it's a learned skill to get quiet. That is something you have to work at and learn in our generation, is learning to be quiet. And get quiet on the inside. And that's why Dave says years ago, and for many years I've heard him say, you know, people say, well, if I only have 6 hours a week to pray, should I pray 1 hour a day or should I pray 6 hours all at one time? And he said, well, if that's really all you had, I would do 6 hours at one time. And well, why? Because the longer you pray, the quieter you get. Boy, that's the truth. Yeah, that's the truth. How many been here a while can testify to that? And I want to remind you again, one of the best practical helps that I've ever received, besides the message here at the prayer center, is what Tim taught me in the early days. Because trying to do that, my mind, are you kidding? I could not get quiet. I was wanting to get still and hear that voice of God. And my mind, it just seemed to be so active. And Tim suggested, he said, look, take a tablet or a piece of some paper and a pen. He says, your mind is designed by God to remind you of things you're supposed to do. Don't fight against your mind. As your mind tells you, reminds you of things, you're trying to pray and seek God, right? And your mind is going, don't forget to do this and don't forget to do that. He says, just write it down. He says, there's something about the way God made us that if you'll acknowledge it, let's just pick something like Gary, call your mother at 10 o'clock today, you know. So I write that down. And my mind goes, oh, he heard me. Gary heard that. Okay. All right. I'm not going to keep reminding him because he acknowledged that he heard me. He wrote it down. I'm not going to keep bugging him about that until it gets to be about 10 o'clock. You see what I mean? And the first day that I actually did that, and I'm just, every time I think of something like that, I'd just write it down, you know. And all of it wasn't for that day, but it was just things that my mind would come up with. I would write them down. That first day, if I remember correctly, was 52 things I wrote down. 52 things. No wonder I was having a hard time getting quiet. And my mind is doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to remind me of all those things. Then the second half of that equation is really good. I've learned this from practical experiences. Once you're through then with your prayer time, you already got out your written to-do. You've got your written to-do list already written out. And you'll find your days become much more productive. You will get more done than you ever thought possible before. So that's just this week is a really good week. Because how many can feel that we're in a transition? Well, I can. I know. I keep my dreams and the things that are going on right now. I'll just say it this way. I am more excited about this year coming up than I have been in a long time. There is an anticipation in me, not only based on the prophecies that's come forward, but it's just a knowing. How did Oral used to say that? I know. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know that I know. I know that I know that I know, way down in my knower. I'm telling you, I know. We're coming into a time, something we've been looking for a long, long time. But this is it. How did they say it about the prophet Joel? This is that. That which we have sought all these years, this is that. We're coming into it now. Okay. This first service today, we're going to call the Word of the Kingdom. The Word of the Kingdom. We're going to look at one verse in particular here, Matthew 13, verse 19. Jesus says, when anyone hears the Word of the Kingdom. If you underline, I'd underline that phrase. We're going to be talking about the word of the kingdom a lot this year. And understandeth it not. And I'll just tell you right now, that's most of the world. And I'll say, it's most of the church world. Does not understand what Jesus is talking about there. The word of the kingdom. Well, if you don't understand it, then comes the wicked one. And he catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, you can go ahead, that's all we're going to read out of Matthew. You can go ahead and turn over to Mark 4. We'll be there in a minute. So the word of the kingdom, this word of the kingdom, it has everything to do with God's word. You know from Matthew's account and Mark's account, the word, the sower soweth the what? The sower soweth the word. Let's go all the way back. Now, you don't need to turn there, but let's go back to Genesis for just a minute. Let's go back to where before there was man on the earth. So God is dealing with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let me say it this way. There is no resistance. There is no unbelief. There is no doubt. Read it for yourself in Genesis 1. How did this material world come into being? God said. You could say God's word. God sowed his word. Whatever he said, it came to pass. And there was no resistance. There was no unbelief. There was no doubt. There was no man on earth yet. So God was free to manifest his word as he saw fit. Can you prophesy right there? Can you? That's what's coming this year. God is going to manifest his word because we're going to get out of his way. We're going to get out of his way. The doubt and the unbelief, we've been working on it for years and years and years. It's time for us to just step over and believe. And God's going to be able to manifest his word through a people that do not doubt anymore. That we just believe. We just believe. That's the word of the kingdom, by the way. The word of the kingdom is, yes, okay, now I'm going to jump ahead now. I wasn't going to do this, but go over to Mark 9. Mark 9. This is a very familiar passage where the man brought his lunatic or epileptic son. The disciples tried to cast it out. They could not cast it out. Jesus comes and in short order he casts it out. But before he does, he says something so profound to this man. I have it on my paper. Let me get there myself though, in my Bible. Mark 9. Oh my goodness. You know the story so well. For sake of time, let's just pick it up here, verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation. I don't want that to be the banner I have to walk under as I enter into heaven. Here comes another from the faithless generation. That's not going to be the banner over us. We're going to be the faithful generation, the believing generation. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? That means put up with you. Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now there's tons of revelation right there. That's exactly what that spirit did when the disciples tried to cast it out. And they were moved by what they saw. Being moved by what we see is called doubt. It is the opposite of believing the kingdom. Now, don't go off the deep end and deny the facts. But never let facts affect the truth. God's word is truth. And our job is to bring truth to overcome the facts. Now this thing tried the same thing with Jesus that it did to move the disciples into unbelief. So this thing's foaming and wallowing and tearing this kid on the ground. Most people are so moved by what they see then the word of God becomes unproductive. Okay? Well, Jesus just asked a question. He said, well, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if, now here, and here's the question of the whole world. Got a sick child, maybe you're sick yourself, poverty stricken, whatever your mountain is, whatever the problem is, if you can do anything, God. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And I like the last part, have compassion on us and help us. I don't like that first part, if thou canst do anything. But now here's the reason we read this. This next statement that Jesus makes to this man, this is your year. This is your verse for this year. Mine too. Now, mine too. This is our verse. I want you to watch this. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now let's camp right there for a minute. Let's camp right there. Does anyone know this father's name? I already know the answer. No, you don't. Was he one of the 12? Was he one of the 70? No. This is a, how would Dave call this fella? This is Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper guy. He is not, he has no calling on his life that we know of. He is not an apostle. He is not a disciple. On purpose, we don't even know this guy's name. Yet Jesus says to Joe Public, if he said it to him, he's saying it to us. If you can believe, all things are possible. You know what he's really saying? He's really saying, I don't care if my disciples couldn't cast it out. If you can believe, you could. You remember the other guy here that, I didn't look this one up, but you remember the fellow, the disciples made him quit casting out devils because he wasn't following with them? We don't know his name either. He wasn't one of the 12, wasn't one of the 70. And it doesn't say he was trying to cast out devils. It says he was casting out devils in the name of Jesus. That's the one that Jesus said, well, leave the guy alone. You know, leave him alone. If he's not against me, you know, he's for me, okay? And here we go again. And neither one of these fellows are born again. Neither one's baptized in the Holy Ghost. Neither one that we know, we don't know their name, don't know their calling, don't even know if they had a calling. But Jesus says to them, if you can believe. Now, that's another way of saying the kingdom of God is coming by his word. If you can believe his word, like he said in Matthew 13, this is the word of the kingdom. Everything here is created by God's word. In the beginning, when there was no man to even be involved, everything that exists at its core is God's word. No wonder it will respond to God's word. Before God made man, there was no resistance. But once he made man, then he made man a part of the equation. And your faith now is involved. Your faith and your doubt is involved in the equation now. God's word has not changed. God's word has as much power today as it had with the day he said, light be. I'm preaching to myself real good. I hope you're enjoying what I'm preaching to myself. This guy was, we don't even know his name. We keep thinking, oh, that's for the fivefold, and that's fine, sure. They're supposed to walk in certain things, you know. But what about Joe Public? What about the rest of us? In my name, they'll cast out devils. Who? The fivefold? Those that believe. And it's come down to it. It's time to believe his word. The word of the kingdom is the word of dominion. And it will prosper everywhere that faith is applied to it. And we've got mountains of physical evidence to the contrary. How many of you, well, I'm going to ask. I have prayed for people and they died. Then I ask, who wants prayer next? No. You know, and the enemy comes against me like he comes against everybody, see? It's you. Yeah, you're not this, and you're not that, and you're not qualified, you're not good enough, you're not prayed enough. And all of that is, hey, I'm all about prayer, I'm all about His Word, I'm all about fasting, but I'm not earning nothing from God. All of that has to do with dealing with Gary, to make Gary a vessel that's more free of doubt than I was yesterday. But it's got nothing to do with earning anything from God. Jesus, even to His own disciples, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting helps the Holy Spirit manifest truth in your life and get you to the place where you're not so moved by the physical circumstances. We see how that devil, it was trying to move Jesus the same way it moved the 12. They were moved by what they saw. Jesus was not moved by what He saw. We're a people not moved by what we see. We're going to apply the truth to the facts. And the word of the kingdom shall bear fruit. Even in those that believe, now I'm just having to follow now. Even in those of us that believe, we all believe. You wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning like this if you didn't believe. But even amongst those of us that believe, there's varying degrees of it. That's why would He say some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold? Well, I thank God for if I'm maybe I'm a 10-folder. I don't know what I am, but that tells me I can, if my ground, see, the word does not change. What changes is the ground. And if I still got stones in there, I still got unbelief in there, well, fasting and prayer deals with those things. That's exactly why God sent the Holy Ghost to help dig around in us and find stones and of unbelief and doubt, get them out of us. Finds other kind of stones, unforgiveness, bitterness, unworthiness, all of that stuff. Get it out of us. We're look at it again. Verse 23 before we leave here. If thou canst believe. Put it in plain English. If you can believe. Joe Public, where the Bible doesn't even know your name. He does. What I'm saying is you're of no reputation, of no report, don't have a worldwide ministry. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. You think he'd say something different to you than he said to that guy? If you can believe, all things are possible. I like what the guy said straightway. The father cried out and he said with tears, this is where we are, be honest with you, where we've been anyway. Lord, I believe. In other words, he wouldn't have, if he didn't believe to a certain level, he wouldn't have brought his son there. And then he says, help thou my unbelief. Oh, I think that's a good one. But a better prayer than that is get to the place where there's not so much unbelief to have to help. I said that pretty good, didn't I? Where there's not so much unbelief to try to help. Well, that's the message of the prayer center. That's everything that's taught here has to do with dealing with that. Hallelujah. This word of the kingdom. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I've been having these classrooms. I've been waking up already with my soul comes to consciousness and my spirit is already in the classroom with the Holy Ghost. And I have to start trying to catch up. Recently, in this month, December, I woke up one morning and I just heard these phrases. I could just hear them going through my spirit or my soul. The first one was the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. The second one I heard was, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. You know from those parables, Mark 4, Matthew 13. What is the ground, people? We are the ground. The word, it's full of power. The word has not changed. The word of the kingdom, just like in Genesis, before there was ever man, the word will produce, when there's nothing to stop it, no doubt, no unbelief, the word will produce exactly every time the will of the Father. Jesus is the word made flesh. That's why you can look at him and know the will of the Father. He manifested the Father's will everywhere he went. Says God, what does the Father want? Does he want health or sickness? What, do you see Jesus going around putting sickness on anybody? What does he go around doing? He goes around healing sicknesses. Well, God, he likes to make you poor to humble you. Do you see Jesus going around making people poor? No, I see him going around taking the offerings and giving it to the poor. Giving them if they don't have enough to eat. God our Father doesn't like it when little children go to bed hungry. He doesn't like it when anybody really goes to bed hungry. Well, unless you're fasting. Sorry. I guess he likes it then. But you understand the point. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the vessel we can look at that was free of doubt. You want to see the Father's will manifested? Look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why I told Philip, Philip, have you been so long with me? You don't know who I am. Philip, if you've seen me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This, I am the Word of the Father manifested for you to see. Well, Jesus is a Savior. Jesus is a forgiver. Go and sin no more. Oh, thank God those words are in my Bible. Now, he's not condoning sin. He'll help me, walk with me, forgive me, as long as I'm still walking, doing my best to walk with him. But I'll tell you, yes, sir, I'll tell you right now, if you decide you want to walk off, and he'll never forsake you, but if you decide you're going to walk off, he'll let you go. Remember those that got offended when he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you, and they got offended and they left? He didn't go running after them, but he still died for them. And every one of them could return if they wanted to. Man, it's good stuff. So I woke up that morning. This was December 6th, I don't mind telling you. And I heard the word of the kingdom. These phrases were going off on the inside of me, preparing me for this year coming up. The word of the kingdom. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You want change, do you? Sow God's word into yourself. Sow God's word. Okay. I heard this phrase. The sower soweth the word. It is the word that you sow. Then I heard from Isaiah 55. I don't know if we're going to get there today or not. But my word shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that for which I sent it. Boy, don't we see that in Genesis 1? Everything that he said came to pass, and it still will if we can believe. That was good right there too. It still will. It hadn't lost its power. Still will. Then I heard this one. It's like these phrases trying to laser focus me on this. I heard this one. The kingdom of God is within you. Quit looking. Now, it's fine for the gifts. I thank God for the gifts. Pastor Dave is sitting right back there. Thank God for the gifts that I've seen flow through the man. Amen? But we need to quit looking for the kingdom to come to you from somebody else. Now, I thank God that it does. Don't get me wrong. And I may be the first one in the next prayer line. I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer lines. But the truth of the matter is, the kingdom of God is within you. You are born again your own self. You've been baptized with the same Holy Ghost he was baptized with. The inheritance of Jesus has been shared with you. Every resource he had available to him, you have available to you. All the riches of heaven belong to you. All the resources of heaven, angels, the Holy Ghost, and things unspeakable. Paul said, I've been there 14 years ago. I saw things. One translation said, I saw things it's not lawful for man to speak. Another translation says, I saw things it's not possible for man to speak. And every time I read that now, I think about the Flatlander. The Flatlander. What if he got translated to our world? Then he goes back and he saw the height and depth and a dimension he knows nothing about. And he goes back to his flatland world where there's only two dimensions. And he tries to describe to them what he saw. Well, God lives in a realm with a different set of physics than ours. I'll say it that way. I've wondered about those creatures that we read about in Revelations that has so many eyes and so many wings. You know, to navigate there, maybe they need those. That's another day. I got a lot of silence right there. Maybe you need that in that realm, see? So I heard the kingdom of God is within you. Then I heard this one that we just looked at. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. And then some produce 30-fold, some 60, and one, some 100-fold. There's levels of believing, and you're not trapped in one. You can go from unbelief to believing. Peter did. Remember that lesson we've had already? Jesus told him the truth. Peter didn't believe it. I don't believe that. No, that's not what's going to happen. I don't believe that. And it was a long time before he did believe it. But he finally believed it. Well, maybe you've been now I'm talking about Gary. Maybe Gary's been a 30-fold guy. I thank God 30-fold has got me past cancer twice. You know? Thank God for what I've seen. But see, I don't have to stay 30-fold. And it's not the word that's got to change. It's my soil. It's me. It's my heart. It's me. Well, how would I do that? Thank God. Don't you wish there was a church? If you wanted to change your belief system, don't you wish there was a church that would teach you how to do that? And not just come out and say, you need to love more. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your brilliant message. I knew that before I came to your service. Gary, you need to have more faith. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that, you know. No, can somebody tell me how? And I thank God for Pastor Dave. I thank God for him teaching us about the real teacher, the Holy Ghost, the one sent from heaven. And an example that we can look at anytime you start getting off the plumb line. He is the plumb line. He is the standard by which everything is measured. You want to know how it works? Look at Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. I don't have to stay 30-fold. You don't have to stay 30-fold, 60-fold. Let's go on for 100-fold. If it's there, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let the Holy Ghost dig around in your ground some more. Might find some stones you don't know's there. The disciples didn't know they had unbelief in them. I like how Dave says it. Why ask the question if you knew the answer? They didn't know. Why couldn't we cast it out? Don't ask him publicly. He'll answer publicly. Privately, they asked him. Why couldn't we cast it out? Boy, he didn't mince words, did he? Because of your unbelief. Well, there it is. See, ever since God made man, man now, the faith of man is involved in this equation of what happens, what gets manifested between heaven and earth. Unhindered by man, God would just speak and it would happen. Yes, sir, I'm going to say it again. And unhindered by man, it will happen again. Our job is to get unhindered. Get the doubt, the unbelief out of us, where God's will can be manifested through us. Yes, sir. And he's made that really easy. I don't understand. Yeah. Because there is an unhindered one living in the inside of you. Oh, I'm preaching way better than your amen. And I'm telling you right now, that was good right there. See, if you really read it, it said, he that believeth on me. He that believeth on me. Yes, sir. Go down. Where's that in John? Get down my toasty. Go to John. Leave a marker in Mark. We may come back to Mark. John 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, we normally just quote verse 12, but let's start in verse 11 now. Believe me. Believe me. Underline those two words if you mark in your Bible. This is our year. To believe him. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. You know what he would say to you right now? believe me that I am in you and that the Father is in me. And that's what we got to believe. Not that you're so perfect, but that the perfect one, he's made a conduit. He has made a portal. He has made a passage. He has made a way. He is the way for that kingdom of God to come from that realm to this realm. Does that say that okay? He is that way. He is that portal. He is that everything. Believe me, he says. Here he told him, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. But later on in John 17, he prays another prayer. That he would be in us and the Father in him. There is a perfect portal, a perfect passage, a perfect conduit for the kingdom of God to flow from heaven to earth. And you are the vessel containing that portal. And it goes with you everywhere you go. No wonder Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This word of the kingdom. But nobody knows this. If they do, they're not preaching it because they get a lot of flack when you preach it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message has not changed. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and then if they won't believe. Well, I believe it's just time to get about doing that. Doing that exact thing this year. Through Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, and Gary Carpenter. I'm just right there with you. I'm just the one that has the mic today. Amen. And not just in church, in the streets, at the Walmart, at the store, everywhere. Those that have turned the world upside down have come to Tulsa also. And then Joplin, and then Springfield, and then St. Louis, and then everywhere. Amen. So as I woke up that morning, December 6th, and those phrases were all just, I was just hearing them over and over again. I want to say them again. I heard them over and over again. I'll try and say them without commenting, but then I want to show you a little vision that he gave me to illustrate it. I woke up, I was just hearing these things. When this happens, I have to, if Sue's still asleep, I have to get up, tippy-toe out of the room, you know, and go get something to write on or get a recorder or something, because I don't want to lose it. You should do the same. Anyway, I was hearing the word of the kingdom. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The sower soweth the word. My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I sent it. The kingdom of God is within you. If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Some produce 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. This gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom. What did he tell them to preach? The kingdom of God is at hand. As I was hearing these things, I was keenly aware of the dimensional crossings. Now, what I mean by that is the hula hoop message. What I mean by that is, God lives in a different realm than we live in. His realm created this realm. The whole message is his power is available from that realm to this realm if we can believe. That's who he is. So I'll read it like I wrote it. As I was hearing these things, I was keenly aware of the dimensional crossings, the realm where we live and the realm where God lives. And by the way, it's not way far off. In him. I'm holding, for those that can't see what I'm doing, I'm holding my right hand right up by my right cheek. And I'm just like, the kingdom of God is here. God is not way far off somewhere. We, in him, we live and move and have our being. The kingdom of God is here. It is available. It is as close as your breath, maybe closer than that. And that's pretty close. Anyway, the realm of the material and the realm of the spirit, this whole material realm was created by the spoken word of God. In this time, this dispensation we live in, where he is rescuing the sons of Adam, God's word is still the mechanism by which his will is manifested in the material realm. Man, that's good right there. In the beginning, while God was creating all things, there were no humans on earth to believe or not believe. God's word was unhindered by unbelief and doubt. At that time, there was no soil for God's word to be sown into. He simply spoke, and his desire was manifested. But ever since God created man, the faith of man has been involved regarding the manifestation of God's word in this material realm. It was through not believing God's word that Adam chose to disobey God when he ate the forbidden fruit. Not believing God's word was the way out of God's perfect will. Sometimes I say the garden. So believing God's word is the way back into God's will. Got that? We are the soil. Doubt or not, we are the soil. The seed of God's word is perfect. Now that's Isaiah 55. You don't have to turn unless you want to. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Glory to God. The word has not changed. So then I saw this little mini vision. I just saw this little vision. I captured it, wrote it down the best I could. God was seated in his realm, looking at the whole earth. What I saw in the vision was something like that image from space taken by the astronauts. You ever seen that picture that they show on the internet sometimes, and it's showing the lights at night on the earth, you know? Have you ever seen that? That's exactly what I saw. I saw an image like that. But in this vision, at first, the whole earth was dark. The whole earth was just dark. But then there would be twinkles of light. Here, there, many of them, all over the earth. But most of them twinkled bright for only a moment. And then they were dark again. A few stayed bright for a while. And they actually left a little trail of light for a short time. But then they went dark again as well. Only very rarely was there a trail of light that lasted any serious length of time. I know that each twinkle represented a moment when God's word was sown into somebody's heart. They received it with joy, and it burned bright at first, but then it was extinguished by unbelief because of the reasons listed in Mark chapter 4. Some produced a little light for a longer period of time and produced a trail of light, but they did not endure for long. Only rarely was there a permanent trail of light. Endurance is the key. Y'all ever heard that before? Let's see. Endurance is the key. I've heard that somewhere. Thank God. I'm so excited about this year. Now, last Sunday, I read this about the gospel of the kingdom. But it was such an unusual... How many enjoyed last Sunday? It was such an unusual service. But I want to go through these verses again. You know, through the prophecy, the Lord has declared this year coming up is the year of power. Well, this was another lesson. I woke up on... it was after the 6th. I didn't put the right date on here, but sometime this month in December, and these verses are going through my mind. Let's just go through them real quick. Matthew 4:23. We're going to look at verses about the gospel of the kingdom. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, Now notice the sequence. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Three things: teaching, preaching, and healing. And what was he teaching and preaching about? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know another phrase that I keep hearing right now? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know in the context there, he's talking about sin and no longer being a slave to sin. Thank God for that. But it's much more than that. The truth of the matter is, this gospel of the kingdom is truth. And even the whole religious church world doesn't believe it. But the truth is, it really is available to us. God has made his kingdom available. His power is available to us, to everyone who will believe it. That is the truth. And it will make us free and able to set the other captives free. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You could write that over the head of every believer that believes the gospel of the kingdom. Now, not everybody's called to be an apostle, but everybody's called to be a believer. And if he told that man that brought his lunatic son, that on purpose his name is not even recorded in the Bible, to let us know for sure, that's just a Joe Public. If he told that man, if you can believe, all things are possible, then it's flat time for us to believe it. Teaching, preaching, and healing the gospel of the kingdom. Now, it doesn't mean you're called necessarily to a fivefold ministry or a pulpit ministry to have to wait till you teach it. Teach it at the Walmart. Teach it to your next door neighbor. Preach it wherever you find an opportunity. And then let's not be scared anymore. Let's go heal the sick. See, it's not finished until you heal, until you do. And I'm preaching to Gary as much as anybody else. This is what he's expecting of us this year. He said, I haven't had you all these years for you not to manifest my will now. Almost identically the same words in Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Three things again. Number one, teaching in their synagogues. Number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Number three, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What if we teach it, preach it, and do it at the children's hospital? Doesn't it say every sickness and every disease? Boy, that'll be a day. That will be a day. Glory to God. Then this Matthew 24:14 came to my mind. It said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now notice how it's worded. Look it up. Go ahead and look this one up. I'm sorry. Matthew 24:14. I want you to see this. You might want to underline this in your Bible. And this has everything to do with him saying that this year is the year of power. This year is the year of power. I said, well, what do you exactly mean by that? Because it could be power for you to fast. It could be power for you to pray. I mean, you know, that's a legitimate question. What do you mean by that when you say this is the year of power? I'd like to believe it's the year of revival, see. That's what I'd like to believe. This is the year where we actually see the things that we've been preaching all these years. So he's answering my question. He's bringing the answer through Scripture. And he's having to do it usually when I'm asleep. Why is that? Well, so I don't argue with him. And so I don't act like I already know. I'm out of his way. My soul is at rest. So he, like, as soon as I come to consciousness, it's like this lesson's already been going on, you know. So to answer my question, I don't know that I ever would have dug out these verses. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, now notice, for a witness. For a witness. Underline that if you don't mind. The gospel is preached, why? For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But then the next one was Acts 4:33. Acts 4, you might want to turn there too and underline a little bit. The gospel of the kingdom is a witness. It's a witnessing tool. It's preached for a witness. But now notice, exactly what do you mean by that? I hear pages turning. I'm going to wait. Acts 4, verse 33. What is this? This is the year of what? Notice. And with great power gave the apostles what? Witness. What did he say? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached for a witness. But it doesn't become a witness until it's manifested in power. And that's been the missing ingredient. I preached in the prisons long enough. There's a lot of Muslims in the prisons, even back when I did it. And I've had enough discussions with them. You're not going to win them over with a debate, a word debate. You know your Bible, they know their Quran. You guys can debate till the cows come home. And both of you just get tired and angry. I've never yet seen one of them won that way. But I'm telling you right now, if you go into a city of Muslims and you preach the gospel of the kingdom in power, and they've got a blind mama, or they've got an epileptic child, or whatever is wrong that they've prayed and nothing would happen, but you come and with great power, you manifest the kingdom of God as a witness that Jesus is alive. They are going to want to know more about your Jesus. That's what we've called to. There are 7, probably closer to 8 billion people on the planet. People, the tiniest fraction of those are born again. Out of 7 or 8 billion, no wonder. We live in an America, we think, there's lots of, worldwide, Christianity is very small. It is very small, real Christianity. We've got between 7 and 8 billion people on the planet. We're not going to win them with a word debate. We're not going to win them with flashy, technical programs and things and stuff. No. You know what he intended for it to be a witness? The manifestation of his kingdom. The teaching and preaching of the kingdom of God. And then manifesting it in great power. I like how it says, not just power. Do you notice? And with great. See, well, that was the apostles. He said to that man that we don't even know his name, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, the word apostle, if you look it up, and I know that there is apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. Trust me, I've done my homework. But that word at its core means messenger. You are, every person in the sound of my voice, you are a messenger to the world. Jesus is alive. The kingdom of God is available to you. I've come to teach it, preach it, and then demonstrate it in great power as a witness that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is Lord of all, that his name is above every name that is named. So then the last one that I heard was this one, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Because then I'm going, God, I'm not, like Dave says, I'm not arguing with you. I believe it. What do you think I've been praying here for all these years and studying and doing all that? What do you want from me, God? Here's the verse. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, now after that John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. Here it is again. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then the instruction, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, I know in the context, John was baptizing them to repent of their sins. But when I heard this one, it was like he was saying to me and everybody at the prayer center and everybody worldwide who's part of this vision. He's telling all of us, it is time to repent. Hopefully, you've already repented of sin. What he's talking about is repent of your unbelief. Repent of your doubt. It is time to believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. One of my favorite preachers, I won't mention him by name because some people missed, but one of my favorite, and I heard him say a long time ago, one time he was going through a period of rough spell, and he started complaining to God. He said, God, your word says, if I'm willing and obedient, I will eat the good of the land. And at the time, they were behind on their bills. His wife was sick. The dog was sick. I mean, everything seemed to be the opposite of that. You said if I'd obeyed, no, if I was willing and obedient, I would eat the good of the land. The Lord said to him, yes, you're being obedient. You're doing what I told you to do, all right, but you and I both know that in your heart, you're not willing. You're just doing it out of raw obedience, but really your heart's not willing. And this preacher, he says, don't tell me it takes a long time to get willing. He says, I made a little adjustment. I heard that and I said, all right, Lord. And he made a little adjustment in his heart. And he says, it happened that quick. And I said, right back to the Lord. Now, Lord, I know and you know that from this point on, I am willing. And everything changed. I'm telling you right now, we can do that same thing with when it comes. There is a switch on the inside of you that we can switch today. I mean now. And I mean, Father, if I have been full of doubt, I'm switching that off. I make up my mind, I'm going to repent and believe the gospel. Let's just do it right now. Let's just tell him. Just tell him like that preacher did. Father, I'm making, so say it with, Father, I'm making an adjustment. I've been obedient. Somewhat. But there's been some doubt along the way. As for me, I make an adjustment in my heart. From this day forward, I repent of my unbelief. I choose to believe you, what your word says. I am a believer. I put myself right now in the shoes of that man that brought his son. We don't even know his name. But I put myself in his shoes. And I hear you say to me, if I can believe, all things are possible. So I declare this day, from this day forward, I am a believer. I believe your kingdom. I believe your word. And your will shall be manifested through this life that you've given me in your Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you in 30 minutes.